the bright and morning star, the choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. A vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you.
Good evening and welcome. I'd like you to do something a little different than we normally do. I'd like you to take a moment and turn around and look at the light coming through those windows. It's one of those ah moments. We were sitting up front and visiting, and it was like, you know, that doesn't happen every year. You folks that have been here for multiple years, you don't always get out of the car at the little church on the hill and not have mud up over your ankles or snow banks, or you go in the park and you can't park square because Joel hasn't quite plowed that corner off square enough yet. So, but this year, God has blessed us and blessed us immensely. It's always a pleasure to do the service where you all come from different locations and you come to share in the joy and in the preparation for Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter. Holy Week's like the Super Bowl for Christians. It's the opportunity to come through and reflect and share. And I encourage everybody all the time to invite, to invite, to invite, to share the love, the light, and the whole tone of Easter and the celebration of life. I'll give you a peek into my sermon on Sunday. My sermon on Sunday is going to talk about why we have celebrations of life and not funerals. We don't do funerals here. We do celebrations of life because our folks got a ticket and they're on their way home. Amen. And so that's what we celebrate. But we're blessed to have you here. And we are glad that you come and that you share in the service and share the celebration. So with that said, if you take a peek at your call to worship, I'll read the light part, y'all read the dark. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world.
Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
If I say, "Let the darkness cover me and the light around me turn to night," darkness is not dark to you, O God.
Night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike.
If you turn to hymn 196, we'll do verses 1 through 3. 196, one day.
Of the eternal Creator in heaven. O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold your vesper light, we sing praises, holy God. One in Trinity, you are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices. O Christ of God, O giver of life, and be glorified through all the worlds. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be the children of the day, not the children of the night.
Let us approach the throne of grace that we may receive mercy.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. This is the message that we have heard from Christ and proclaim it to you. God is light.
If you walk in the light as Christ is in the light, we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you are going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. You are clean, though not all of you."
We're going to prepare to sing 78, "Our God, I Help in Ages Past." But the foot washing, sometimes God puts you in a different place. And I was telling Pastor Don that I got a phone call today from a young man I had served in the military with. And he called and he said, "Geez, I'd like to have coffee and stop by and have lunch." And I haven't talked to him in a long time. And we sat and visited, and he talked to me about Holy Week. He said, "I know you're busy on Holy Week." And we were visiting, he said, "Do you talk about foot washing?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, during my last deployment," he said, "we were out and we were deployed and it was Holy Week. And he said, during Holy Week, a priest came in to do part of the Holy Week service with us. And he said, you got to understand," he said, "we've been out in the desert." And it came to the part about the foot washing, and he said, the priest had talked to him before, and he said, "We're going to adjust this a little bit." And he said, "If you'd like to participate in the foot washing, come forward." And he had a shoe brush, because their boots, combat boots, were all laced up. And he brought them up. And we always talk about the foot washing. We've done demonstrations of the foot washing. But I could not think of a better example of a Christian who wanted to share the light and love of Jesus and the true meaning of Holy Week to that young priest that said, "No, we're not going to skip the foot washing. Let me improvise. Let me show you the spirit of the message here." And beyond that, now the young man I'm talking to is a lieutenant colonel. And he said, watched all the soldiers come up through, and the priest made sure everybody came to have their boots brushed off. And he said, "I know, I'm a colonel," and he said, "I was one of the lower ranking staff officers there." And he said, he gave me a little bit of a feeling of one of the disciples to have this priest want to brush the dirt off of my boots. And he said, you know, in the indignation that the disciples fought of at the start of their master brushing their feet. So I figured God gave me that, that I, you were the first folks I had the opportunity to share it with. So as we continue service, if you would turn to 78, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. And rise if you're able.
Now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting in verse 26. But you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he hath thus served. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as that has served. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Reading the Lord's Word.
I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
We're going to invite you to the service of communion. We're going to invite you to the Lord's Supper, and by intention you'll come forward, taking a piece of bread and dipping it in the cup. Our ministers will say, "The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you." Will you join with me in prayer? Father, as we share in this communion service, as we do each time, Father, we come and we know that it's an individual communion between each one of us and you, Lord. It's the communion that your Son gave us to share, that each time that we gathered, that we would do this in remembrance of him. And we come, Lord, on this week, the Holy Week, remembering the sacrifice and the service and the love that you have for us, Lord, that you would send us your only Son so that we could live eternally. We ask, Father, that you bless us as we enter into this communion, that we enter into it excitedly, knowing that you have given us the greatest gift that we'll ever receive. We ask, Father, that you bless each one of us as we come forward and share in this service. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. was a man, a holy man, the Son of God was he. He took all the shame my heart to claim and bore it willingly.
And began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so."
Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserted because of me. It's night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "They'll all become deserted because of you. I will never desert you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground.
Our fourth reading unshared vigil. Jesus and the 12 went to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, and yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Can you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners."
Jesus looked up to the heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you have gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word."
I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers, together with police from the chief priests and Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them.
the shadow of the cross. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Turn to 218, and those with light share with those who do not have light. We'll sing "Were You There?"
Thank you.
The Word was with God, and the Word was the same as God. From the beginning, the Word was with God. Through the Word, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without the Word. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The Word became a human being, and full of grace and truth, lived among us. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through the world did not recognize the Word. Some, however, did receive the Word and believed in the Word. So the Word gave them the right to become God's children. This is how judgment works. The light has to come into the world, but people, the shadows they love rather than the light, because their deeds are evil.
Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,